You and Lynn Oliver have written a book, or is it a series of books, Soundbender?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a series or is it just one book?
Well, we've written two. It's sort of a series. We're hoping there's going to be a third book in the series. That all depends on how many people read number two. But we've envisioned it as a trilogy. But we can also envision it as a, I don't know what the word for is, a six-book series. If enough people like number two and then maybe number three. As it is in our minds, it's a trilogy.
The target age for your audience would be?
It says in our book it's for 9 to 14-year-olds. There's certainly some themes that we think probably an 8 or 8-year-old wouldn't be ready for. But we think the perfect age is anywhere between 10 and 12. But it's written for anyone who's young at heart as well.
There you go. The protagonist has some very interesting powers. Would you speak to those powers?
Sure. The protagonist's name is Leo Lomax, and he's a kid who's been obsessed with sound his whole life. He's interested just in the sound that we hear around us. Sound is very fascinating to him because it's an ephemeral thing. It happens, and then it's gone. And his special power is when he turns 13, he's able to, when he touches certain objects are around us are charged, they have an emotional memory. He can hear the past of certain objects, what a certain object has heard. For instance, if he heard, a tusk of a woolly mammoth, he'd hear its cry. Or if he heard, basically the idea is if walls can talk, he can hear what the wall has heard in the past.
That's pretty cool.
And so it allows him to kind of solve some of the hidden mysteries that are all around us. And specifically, things talk to him that need resolution in the present from a past mystery that was unsolved and still kind of resonating into the present.
So it is, in fact, a roaring supernatural adventure that spans New York and the globe.
It certainly is, yeah. starts in New York, and I lived in New York for a long time, so it's a city that I love and I love to write about. But then we take it from New York all the way to the South Pacific, and the story though it starts in New York, Leo's story actually has its origins in the South Pacific, and that's where he was born, and that's where he was born on an uncharted island in the South Pacific, where he was actually given the name of Soundbender by a tribal shaman. And he doesn't come to realize that until he's 13, when he receives a package from his father, who has died in a mysterious plane crash in Antarctica. So it's all a lot of great fun. It's page-turner, and it's a fast-paced, action-packed tale with a lot of mystery and a lot of supernatural twist.
So in the collaboration between you and Lynn Oliver, who does what?
Well, we both do everything, which is an incredibly messy process. We sit down in a room before we write each book for a week or two, and we hash out what we'd like to do in that book, and it's a lot of, pounding of tables and stomping out. Because it's very, we get very emotional about it, but then we come up with something, and then we don't write the books in the same room, because that would just be impossible. But what one person will do is someone will say, oh, I'd like to write chapter 3, 7, and 9 because those chapters speak to me. And then someone will write a first draft of a chapter, we'll pass it to the other one. She'll look at it, edit it, change things. Comes back to you, it's very painful because the partner's usually crossed out everything that you love most. Then you change it again, put everything back in that she took out that you loved, send it back, she takes everything out. It just keeps, we usually rewrite each chapter 5 or 6 times that way. So the end product is a very fluid combination of both of our personalities.
So it's a consensus building process.
Yeah, no, we should send our working method to the guys on Capitol Hill.
Amen.
See if they can figure it out.
So you're coming to Madisonville for a lunch that you'll be speaking at with Lynn Oliver. What do you guys encounter when you go out and do these kinds of gigs?
Well, we encounter the one thing that we encounter is young minds, students, you know, who are interested in reading and interested in books. And it's always a thrill for us to meet people who have read our books and for whom the books have been meaningful. It's this misconception that nobody reads anymore, and we find that to be completely untrue, that kids are more interested in books than they've ever been before, at least from our perspective, and that they're reading more and they're reading better and they're talking more. And so what we like to do at each of these meetings is we like to first just to see where the kids are at and what kind of questions they have about books, about writing, about science fiction, about some of the ideas presented in our books. And then what we like to do is we like to share some of our ideas. Our book Soundbender features a lot of kind of antiquated technology, like record players that transcribe their own records from the 1950s, theremins. And so we have a little multimedia presentation that we give them. But we also often teach them about how to write science fiction. We do a lot of science fiction we like to think is based on a what-if scenario. So we ask them to come up with their own what-if scenarios, and then we build like a little story around that a lot of times. It all depends on what the kids are interested in. You know, we try to make ourselves available to them.
It sounds like fun.
So yeah, it's great fun. You know, writing is a very lonely thing, and then we get you know emails from fans a lot, but it's much better to meet them in person because, you know, our book is about touching things and. It's really nice to kind of be in the same space as someone who we've touched with our minds. And that's a really wonderful thing.
Theo, thanks for talking with me on the fly like this.
No, my pleasure.